Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to spend the last half hour. Jeff doesn't want to do it, but I figure why not? Hey, if you haven't got the tree yet, this might help help you make up your mind. So Christmas trees, fake or real? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us issuesetc@kfuo.org. Another thing you hear a lot during the Christmas season is it's the season for giving. It is. In fact, the season for giving really goes year-round. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with someone from LCMS World Relief about one of those regions we haven't been talking about much, and that is Indonesia. Of course, the tsunamis hit pretty hard there, and there was an earthquake that you may or may not have heard about. LCMS World Relief is there, was there, remains there, working hard to bring the touch of mercy and Christ-centered, cross-focused relief to those in need. Find out more about them at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can just call them toll-free. It is the season for giving. 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. Let's go down the line and let's see. Jan is up first. I think she wants to talk about Christmas trees, real or fake. Jan, welcome.
Yeah, it's Jane. we have a 2-foot fake tree, but we have a lot of nativity scenes in our house, so that kind of makes up for it.
So little fake tree and many nativity scenes.
Yeah, we used to have a very, very tall fake tree, but you know what? They get dusty.
Really? Well, I guess they would, especially if you leave them out all year, they're going to get dusty. Thank you very much, Jane. All right, let's see what Janet has to say, calling from her car. Janet, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi.
Hi.
I have, we have a fake one, and a small fake one, and 2 ceramic. But I also have to ask you a question. If you're such a realist, what do you do about the nativity and the poinsettias and...
Oh, you mean being, I said
you're
I was,
talking about,
I didn't say I was a realist. I'm not a realist. I'm a purist.
Purist.
Yes.
Okay. So you have a real Santa standing outside? Do you have a real nativity standing
Well, we don't have a real Santa. I've told my wife she cannot extend the Christmas decorations outside the home because that just makes more work for me, even though she's found a way of doing that too. But she takes care of those things, so I don't complain. But, yes, I am a purist. We don't have poinsettias in the house, I don't think. Although we have a lot of fake garland.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fake garlands hanging around the house lately. So I guess I'm not as much of a purist as, who is exactly a purist? I've passed my root ball days. We don't bring the thing in with the root ball anymore. I just go and buy it from some guy who cut it down in September, probably in Arkansas. Steve calls from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues Etc.
You know, there's only one real fake tree, and that's the 1950s aluminum with the oscillating lights.
That's what Gary was talking about when he called before.
Oh, yeah. We got a real tree. It's about 8 foot, 9 foot, you know, because I don't want to disappoint my children. And then we have the real fake tree. So
the real fake tree.
Yeah, the real fake tree, as opposed to the plastic fake tree. So, but I wonder if our friend here favorite scene is from the movie The Graduate.
What do you mean?
Well, you remember The Graduate.
Long time ago, yeah.
Remember, but he gives this piece of advice, the future is plastic.
Yeah, plastics. That's right, Steve, thank you very much. Well, look, okay, Steve makes a point. If it's going to be fake, then make it fake, baby. Purple, pink, white, silver, color wheel, whatever you want. If it's going to be fake, it should look fake. Millie calls from her car. Hi, Millie.
Yes, maybe... You know, the churches all have fake trees, perhaps, because of fire regulations. You're aware of that. Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And we went to a fake tree because we didn't know about an allergy with my husband because he was turning up with different woods.
Oh.
He was yeah.
Now, there's a very good reason to have a fake tree, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Millie. Jeff?
Okay.
Do you guys have the fake tree because of any allergies in the family? Is that the rationale?
I don't know. I just go for the ride.
I know you have the dog you have because your dog is hypoallergenic. But
this is true.
But is this like a resin, pine dust, I don't know, bark?
Todd, if it was up to me, we'd have no Christmas decorations.
I like the way you think. Okay. So if it's going to be fake, it should really be fake. I mean, the thing should look fake. If it's going to be real, then we should be real. Steve said he had the real fake one, which looks really fake. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. All right, Millie has one legitimate reason for having a fake tree in my book, and that is allergies. Every church I've been in lately has a real tree. Mary calls from her car. Hi, Mary.
Hi. That cracked me up about being really fake. I love that. We had, when I was a kid, we had an aluminum tree with a color wheel that changed the whole tree's color. But, no, I'm a purist. It's got to be real because of the smell and just because it's traditional. And if you want to know a place where you can cut one down so you don't have to buy one that was cut in October or September, that's, we found a place this year. It's called Heritage Tree Farm in Washington, Missouri. And there was snow, and we dragged the kid in the 5-year-old in the sled until we found the perfect tree.
Yeah!
And of course, she had to get out of the sled so we could pull the tree back.
See, my wife is probably, well, she's not listening right now. She's doing a show, but she never listens anyway. But if she were listening, she would be laughing because I really do, even though I'm so reluctant, every Christmas to go out and get that tree. I love the whole put on the stocking caps, get the little toboggan, pull the kids out. We bring the dog. We didn't bring the dog this year because last year when we brought the dog to the tree lot, she left a gift right there where everyone walked. And I had to actually pick it up, so she got to stay home this year. But we try to do the whole nine yards. We go in, we have the cider, and we meet Rudolph in there, and...
Yeah.
And it's I'll put in a plug for Stuckmeyer's right there on Route 3 near Waterloo, which is a little tree lot. We used to actually go out to the farm and either cut it down ourselves or dig it up. When I was a parish pastor, we'd go out to one of the parishioners' houses middle of the night and dig one of their pine trees up. Or sometimes we ask permission.
Wilkin?
Yeah.
You've gotten Osteen on me.
What do you mean?
This Norman Rockwell picture of finding the...
We would sing songs in the car driving out. We would sing songs over the river and through the woods. And we would go out. And have I told you about dancing around the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve?
I'll make a wager with you.
Yeah.
Emma will not be singing over the river and through the woods. She's a teenager now. I doubt she'll be participating in it.
Probably not. That's why she can bring her iPod if she wants to. But dancing around the Christmas tree. Now, what are you telling your kids if you have the Christmas Eve dancing, which we have? You turn
no,
on the Christmas
don't.
Music and you dance around the Christmas tree. What is it if you're dancing around a fake tree?
That's what are you dancing for in the first place?
It's a Wilkin family tradition. I don't know how it started, but every Christmas Eve, the house lights get turned off, the tree lights get turned on, and we play one of the Christmas albums that we have. And
is it like
Harry Connick Jr.
Is it like
Christmas
a record?
Album.
Is it like a record and you play with an old
No, it's a CD. But if you in my house, if you dance too robustly and it makes kind of makes the house shake a little bit and it will make the CD skip. So you have to be light on your feet like me.
Yeah, right.
Hey,
all right.
You could post that on the website too. You need to videotape that.
I'd love to see it.
Oh, no. That's not going to get videotaped under any circumstances. Jan in Pennsylvania writes, first married, fake. She says that's B.C., before children. When the kids were little, she calls that A.D., after delivery, real. She said we went out, hunted it down, killed one every year, hot chocolate. Yeah, we had the hot chocolate, too. Sleigh rides, the whole deal. And then she concludes, kids are now adolescents. No one wants to go out in the cold and the snow, and they've gone back to the fake. I'm sorry to hear that, Jan, especially in Pennsylvania, where I understand they have a really great Christmas tree population. What about the rest of you? It's open lines issues, et cetera. We were going to talk about more substantive things, but since I was so passionate about the real tree, what's it for you, real or fake, when it comes to the Christmas tree in your home? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. So after kids, when they get into adolescence, the tree becomes fake. It's kind of like my parents when they retired, they went to the fake tree. And it's you know what it is? It doesn't save you any labor whatsoever. If you don't want to have to go out and cut down your tree, it takes my dad quite a bit of time to put up the fake tree. It's a multi-step operation. It requires more than one person, a little bit of planning. I think there's some schematics involved, things like that. But once they got it put together, it actually has the lights already pre-strung on the tree. So once you got it all, you have one of these too. You mean you don't even hang the lights?
We almost went to that this year.
The pre-strung?
Yes, yes. Remember, Todd, it's the thought that counts.
Now, did you have to sell your wife on the fake tree, or did she sell you on the fake tree?
You have to remember,
tree?
My wife was 9 months pregnant when we were putting up the tree, so she wasn't really into the...
Oh, that's true. Those kind of things tend to supersede the holiday spirit. Okay, Kathy's calling from St. Charles. Kathy, thank you for waiting.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We used to do the whole experience where you cut it down and you sing the carols and the whole thing. Then we had a child who altered all of that. And so now we have two artificial trees. Now, one of them is a small tree that is a half a tree, and it hangs on the wall. And so that way I told people my son can't knock it over unless he knocks down the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that works very well, and I have him pre-strung. So all I have to do is hang the thing on the wall in the nail hole that's already there, take a picture down, put the tree up. And then we just have to decorate, you know, with the ornaments. And then because it's artificial, you can fold over the branches so he can't knock that garland or the ornaments off. So all I have to do is occasionally straighten that tree out. And we have another tree that's also artificial, and it's skinny, and it's also pre-strung. I can just carry it up and down. I cover it. And then, with a dust cover in the when we're not using it, and then I just have to walk it up the stairs, plug it in, and put the ornaments on. So we've gone from the whole, you know, experience to simplifying as much as we can. And you know what I say to my kids when they were a little disappointed with the artificial? I said, "Look, life is hard, but God is good. You know, it's hard that we can't have everything that we want." But God is good. We decorate with all these beautiful ornaments, and he shines through anyway.
All right. Well, Kathy, thank you so much. You notice how she used the word artificial and not fake? Artificial sounds better, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like it's a little better than fake, but artificial is still fake. No, I understand the concerns there. So she's raised another reason for having a fake tree, and that is, if you've got kids in the house and you're a little worried about some of the hazards that a real tree might present, then you go with the fake tree, okay? So allergies, little children. We had the cat knock over the tree once. She did it only once. She learned her lesson. Scott calls from his car. Scott, welcome.
Oh, hi, Todd. How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, how about this one? I'll offer this up in the spirit of the season. Every good Christian should have an artificial tree, because cutting down a real tree could increase global warming, and we know how important an issue that is for the church. And, you know, having an artificial tree shows that you have deeds and not creeds, you know. So
yeah, well, I'm certainly hoping that Rick Warren has an artificial tree, because, yeah, he's deeply concerned about global warming. He says it's one of those things we ought to be concerned about, so you wouldn't want to reduce the tree population at all. Yes, serious note, during these dark holiday seasons, I mean, for all I know, this temperate weather we're having here might be due to the fact that I cut down the tree and brought it into the house. It's no longer able to balance the CO2 and oxygen in the, I don't know. Jane Marianne's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Jane Marianne. All right, let's see what James has to say. Down low, calling from St. Louis. James, welcome. Hey, James. All right, we'll see if we can get him back on the line. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. See what Ann has to say in Crestwood. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Todd. I work at a nursery, so I'm a plants woman and a purist, or was for years. But there are 3 years when we actually returned the trees because they were dropping so many needles as we were putting the tree up. And I just got so fed up with that I now have a beautiful artificial tree. And I have to say, the girls that I work with at the nursery, we also decorated a country club around town. And I picked up some real good tips from them, and the tree's just beautiful. It's really, I do it all myself, and it's a lot of fun. But that's why I'm not going to get another tree that I have to return.
Okay, so it's really an economic issue here. You never know what you're going to buy when you're getting the real tree and the fake one doesn't drop needles. But if they really wanted the fake ones to be as authentic as possible, they would make them to drop needles, because a real tree drops its needles. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. On the subject, oddly on the subject of Christmas trees and what occasioned this conversation with you, the Seattle airport having trees, taking them down because of an objection, and now putting them back up, making no one very happy. Chris in Carson City, Nevada writes, I worship the devil and demand a pentagram be put next to any Christmas tree, menorah, or anything else people want to put up. My opinion is just as valid as yours. P.S. I don't really worship the devil. Good to hear, Chris. Thank you very much. But it's true. You wouldn't find the Satanists putting up fake pentagrams. They would inscribe them in animal blood right there on the kitchen floor where they belong. They wouldn't be using red food coloring, Jeff. Hint, hint. Roy calls from his car. Hi, Roy.
Yeah, Pastor, you know, going on to the issue in Seattle, I was listening to O'Reilly this morning, and there's two towns in England. One, I think, is Manchester, which is a pretty large town, that have banned Christmas. No Christmas. It's called Winterfell or some name like that, because they think it should be secular, and that way nobody gets their feelings hurt. You don't want to upset the Muslims over there. So you don't need Christmas trees in those two towns.
That's true. Although I've understood that Christmas is a huge decorating day in Great Britain. But if you want to be fair to everybody, secularize the entire thing. Daniel writes, the reason why my family has almost always done fake trees is because real ones wreak havoc on our allergies. We like to breathe. That's a good thing. I mean, you can't hold your breath for 4 weeks. I do admit that I remember doing a couple of real trees when I was really, really little, though. Thanks for the email from Nebraska, Daniel. Okay, that was raised before. Allergies, maybe kids that might get in trouble. If you have animals in the house that might, you know, sometimes cats are crazy. They see the ornaments. We've had cats one of our cats pulled the tree down. And since the tree fell on top of her, she only did it once. It was just one of those kind of things cats have to learn. Cost her one of her lives, but Jane Marianne in St. Louis, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. I guess my best recommendation is that we have had warm weather in St. Louis, and I'm so happy that people listen to you all over the country. Why not just go to the nursery and then plant a tree or in the yard? Or if somebody has, like, more than one child, plant one for each child. I actually grew up in my home with a tree that I was given when I was like 7 years old.
Oh, Jane Marianne,
for 60 years.
That is a great story. In fact, that's what I did the very first year, Jeff. This will round off our conversation. Very first year when I went out and dug the tree out of the earth myself, brought it home, root ball and all, and the ants marched in, the ants marched out because they had been living in the root ball of this tree. And once they got into the warm house, they all woke up from their winter slumber and decided to visit the kitchen. You know what I did? My wife insisted that the tree leave the home immediately. That was the year I don't think we had a Christmas tree, because I took the Christmas tree out to the backyard. I dug a hole. I planted it. And it remained there for many a year. Our beautiful Christmas tree that spent one night in the house. Well, apparently Mel Gibson's run-in with the law, the accusations of anti-Semitism, didn't have much of an impact on people turning out to see his new movie called Apocalypto. For more on this, here's a report from CBS News.
Well, despite his drunk driving arrest and anti-Semitic tirade, Mel Gibson proved over the weekend that he still has an audience. His new movie, Apocalypto, finished number one at the box office, taking in over $14 million. CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes reports.
Many thought financing and directing a movie about the downfall of the Mayan Empire could have been Mel Gibson's biggest gamble to date.
No, Kukulkan!
But moviegoers chose Gibson's Apocalypto, a movie with no big-name stars and subtitles, over two other major films that opened this weekend. One topped by Leonardo DiCaprio and The Holiday, with four big-name stars.
It is very surprising that this movie opened number one on top of a romantic comedy.
Surprising because the movie, while receiving some good reviews, had been branded outrageously violent. And because so many in Hollywood are still stinging after Gibson's anti-Semitic tirade last summer during a DUI arrest.
Sorry is very easy. Action is more important. And I don't see any actions that Mel Gibson has really taken.
The truth is, he's still Mel Gibson, and people forgive movie stars very quickly.
Disney, which distributed the film, had also gambled on Gibson and Apocalypto.
Will the Academy be able to overlook their feelings about Mel Gibson when judging this film?
Well, the Academy certainly has in the past been able to separate their feelings about an artist from his artistry.
The fact that the movie did so well its opening weekend does bode well for some Oscar nominations for this film.
But Gibson's last Maverick film, The Passion of the Christ, which was a huge blockbuster, didn't get a nomination for Best Picture or Best Director. Sandra Hughes, CBS News, Hollywood.
However, The Passion of the Christ had an $84 million opening weekend, seven times larger than Apocalypto. And the early tracking has shown that, you know, you would think that couples would go see The Holiday. No, it did very well among couples and really well among women over 30.
Right. And the thing about Apocalypto, it's so different. I think that's one of the things that's so appealing. So many people want to go to see it because everybody knows it's different than everything else that's out there.
Yeah, very good.
I should say different. It's subtitled. It's about the fall of a culture that no longer exists. It's on a section of the American continent that most people in the United States don't even pay attention to. Here's Mel Gibson. He's done this twice now, with The Passion of the Christ and with Apocalypto, and who knows what he'll do next, who has bucked every trend, all of the conventional wisdom in society, in Hollywood, in marketing. He said that if there's a good story to be told, even Americans, even dumbed-down Americans, will actually go to the theater and pay good money to see a good story told authentically. What the church could learn from Mel Gibson's movie success? Instead of saying, let's lower our expectations of what we preach and what we do all the way down to the cultural lowest common denominator, which is what most of other movie makers are doing and a lot of churches are doing. Let's lower it all down to the lowest common denominator. Why don't we simply tell the story as we've received it? Why don't we preach the gospel as it's been given to us? And yeah, people might have a difficult learning curve on some of that, but after all, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the ELCA's report on human sexuality with Dr. Nestegan.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Today's Issues Etc. broadcast was underwritten in part by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, titled From Heaven Above. For more information, look for the book cover on our homepage at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, From Heaven Above.